Today on Real Radio.
The scriptures throughout scripture announces that in the last days before he returns, Israel will be brought back from all the nations of the world into their ancient land, their ancient dwelling place.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series on the parables of Jesus. Matthew chapter 25 records a parable that's among the few that deal with the last days. The primary point of this parable, you need to be ready to meet Jesus. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more in his series. It's the parable of the 10 virgins.
The point of the parable tonight is not, by the way, regarding pre-tribulation rapture view or mid-tribulation rapture view or post-tribulation rapture view. We'll talk about that in later studies. It's not about various views. It's all about understanding that you need to be ready to meet Christ. You need to be ready to meet Jesus. And it's all important. So know what you believe. It's very important. Luke chapter 12, verse 42. Listen to how important it is for you and I to know what we believe. And maybe I should put it this way. We better know what we claim to believe, right? Because how can you really believe something if you can't defend it? Now, I won't do this right now. We'll reserve the test later. But what if I were to walk up to you and say, as a Christian now, listen, this is fundamental Christianity. If I were to walk up to you and say, can you define for me sin? You should be able to boom, 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 boom. You say, why? Well, because you need to know what Jesus did on the cross regarding that sin. How can you appreciate Jesus if you don't know what he did regarding sin? If I were to walk up to you and ask you, tell me about sanctification. What? Oh. Well, then how do you know the power of it in your life if you don't know what the Bible says about it? Are you with me? These are fundamental. These are things that are so basic that to be really a Christian, you need to know what you believe. You need to know and you need to be able to defend it. I'm not saying you need to be a theologian. Look, when you see somebody in love, they have spent so much time looking at each other. He can say of her, she's got a little mole right there. And when she smiles, there's a dimple there. And you know what? When you look at her, this eye's a little bit more blue than that eye. I mean, he'll tell you stuff ad nausea to you. It's just like TMI. What? Because they're in love. And they study each other. She'll know his middle name even. And I mean, it's just amazing. Do you remember that show? I don't think it's around anymore, but when I was a little kid growing up, I was just a baby when there was a program called The Newlywed Game. Remember that? And they would ask questions like, you know, stuff like that. Does your wife, you know, have a birthmark? And they start, it's all very funny and all this stuff, but it's pretty bad if the guy's married to his wife and the guy gets the wrong answer. He holds up the answer and it's the wrong answer. What's your wife's middle name? Not good. As a Christian, you should know what God has done for you. Why? Because someone's going to ask us, what makes you a Christian? You better have the answer. Jesus said, or the word of God says, my people perish, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Okay? Luke 12, 42. And the Lord said, who then is a faithful and wise steward? Who knows how to govern their life? Whom his master will make ruler over his household? He's talking about when he returns. To give them their portion of food in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find him so doing when he comes. He's talking about himself when he returns. Truly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, notice it doesn't come out of his mouth. It's in his heart. It's his doctrine. It's his way of thinking. My master delays his coming. I don't think he's coming back soon. Notice the result of that kind of thinking. He begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and be drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and in an hour when he's not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. What's important about this statement Jesus makes, now listen carefully. Are you listening? Jesus, this word in Luke 12, Jesus is not saying that this person was a believer and goes to hell or gets lost because something happened. What's here is that there's a person who says they believe. They're in the gathering of the true believers. They look like a believer. They might talk like a believer, but they're not holding, listen, they're not holding truly in action the doctrines of the believer, the teachings. You see, it's he says in his heart, I don't think my Lord's coming back. You notice that? He looks just like us, but he's not excited about the Lord's return. He could care less. And how would you know? Well, I don't know unless you follow him around town. And if you followed him around town, look, he begins to be very sloppy about his witness regarding Jesus. He's living like the world. He's violent. Look, Jesus said that person's very slack. They beat people. They're mean. They're drunk. They're living for themselves. Now, you might sit here tonight and say, well, I don't beat people and I don't get drunk. Well, fill in the blank. It could be that you're so impressed with yourself that there's no room for God in your life. It could be that you're trusting in your money. No place for God, okay? Very, very important. Jesus is not saying someone's going to lose their salvation. This person never had it. Now, I know this may raise some eyebrows, but I got to tell you, it's my personal experience, and the more and more I see people, I'm convinced from Scripture, not from my emotions, that one of the great hallmarks of who is a real Christian is that they believe and they understand what the Bible says regarding Jesus' return. They're excited about it. I can't imagine any person saying, man, I don't want Jesus to come back now. Now, look, I understand. If you're engaged and your wedding's next weekend, I understand. That guy's praying, God, give me one more week. Will you just one more? Wait for one more week. I always tell the groom right before we walk down the aisle, man, let's pray, brother. Okay, Lord, bless us. And, oh, Jesus, come back even now. And you can see the groom, the husband-to-be, never says amen. You can feel him. You can feel him like, and I'd like to add to that prayer, Lord, just give me one night, please. But the believer wants Jesus to return. How can you say you're a believer and you're drawing up excuses and hoping he doesn't come back? Now, I know this big spiritual response is going to be, I want my friends to get saved. I understand that. God wants your friends to get saved more than you do. Let the timing be in God's hand. You be faithful. You pray for your friends. You share Jesus with them. But come on, let's get out of here. I mean, let's blow this place, right? He knows what he's doing. So get excited about his coming. It's an exciting thing to think about. 1 John, now I'm going to give you a bunch of verses. You ready to write these down? 1 John 3:1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. You ought to circle the word us. This is serious. By the way, John is speaking to believers, only believers. So how beautiful is this? John's saying, wow, has God loved us big time or what? That we, you ought to circle the word we, should be called children, you ought to circle that word, of God. Woo! Therefore, the world does not know us. Isn't that true? They think we're from Mars. Because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be like. Pause right there at that comma. Will I have red hair in heaven? Will I be taller? You know, what will I look like? The Bible says we don't know what we're going to look like exactly. But it's heaven, hello. We're going to look cuter than what we do now. Thank God. It's going to be an upgrade. I don't think anybody's going to walk around heaven and how do you, that guy's as ugly as sin. Oh, wait, we're in heaven. There's no, right? Not going to happen. We're all going to be beautiful. It's going to be amazing. Miracle. But it doesn't tell us how we're going to look. It does not yet been revealed what we will be like. But we know this, that when he is revealed, there's a hint. The moment he reveals himself. Now look, listen, everybody, Bible students, this dovetails with all of all other scriptures of the prophetic revelation. We know this, that when he's revealed, we will be like him. Right? Look at it. For we shall see him. We'll see him as he, listen, when he comes, in that instant, we're going to be changed. We'll talk about this in a moment. You see, well, Jack, he hasn't come for 2,000 years. It could be another 2,000 years. It's not going to be another 2,000 years. There's no way. Well, how do you know? One very important clue. The nation of Israel was born a second time as a nation on May 14th, 1948. And Jesus, the scriptures throughout scripture announces that in the last days before he returns, Israel will be brought back from all the nations of the world into their ancient land, their ancient dwelling place. Think of that. Israel's been there now, how many years? 60 something years now, right? Think of that. There's a lot of other things that we could talk about. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Verse 3, and everyone who has this what? Hope in him. That's, notice, capital H. The Lord purifies himself. What does that mean? Stay away from stuff that's going to hurt your walk with God. If Bubbles comes up and says, hey, what are you doing, handsome? Run! If you can't handle your computer, throw it in the pool. I'm serious. I'm dead serious. It costs $1,200. I would rather pay $1,200 and throw the computer in the pool than mess up your life. And let me tell you, if you're married and you're messing around on your computer, looking at things you ought not to be looking at, if you're married or not, you shouldn't be looking at that stuff. Let me tell you, throwing the computer away is a lot cheaper than a divorce attorney. Get it out. Because you know what? That awesome verse says, because the Lord's coming back, you don't know when, but we're so excited about being like him that we know that he could come back at any time, and we're waiting, and so that keeps us from getting into trouble. Imagine, just imagine. Now look, I am sure this could get on the internet and people edit it out and change it around and make me say things that I'm not saying. Did you hear what he said? What I'm saying is, let's pretend, what if you knew Jesus was coming back at 3 o'clock tomorrow? I did not say Jesus is coming back at 3 o'clock tomorrow. I say, let's just pretend. What would you do right now? I know what I would do right now. I'd shut this service down. Because most of you are already saved. And I would do what I should be doing anyway. And that is going all up and down my street, knocking on every neighbor's door, just like you would if there's a fire. There's a fire! Get out of your house! I should do that anyway, right? Jesus is coming back 3 o'clock tomorrow. Okay, he's coming back. Like, believe in him, right? But shouldn't we have that? Look, the Bible teaches he could come in a moment you're not even aware of. And one of the great indicators of the last day's events, one of them is Israel's back in the land, not to mention global economic collapse and the dissolving of borders. That's internationally. You know that's going on? And the Bible warned about that? Amazing. The Bible also says in the last days before Christ returns, people will trust in gold and silver. You know, no, you just got that from a commercial on TV. No, that's in the Bible. Isn't that amazing? We're so used to it now. It's like, oh, yeah, right. Okay, I got that. Yeah, Bible prophecy being fulfilled. It's true, man. It's amazing. It's awesome. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. Listen, Jesus is coming back. Get ready. It acts as a purifying agent to the believer's life. I mean, look, I don't want to offend anybody. I'm not picking on anybody. I don't know anybody regarding this. But if somebody said to me, I'm a Christian, and I don't think Jesus is coming back, you know what? I don't want to hang out with you. I mean, you and I are going to be in heaven together and all that's fine. But you know what? If you're not excited, you could get in trouble. You know? You could get in trouble if you think he's not coming back. Who says? Jesus said it a moment ago in Luke's gospel. You start to slack off. Be ready. Now, I know some of you are thinking, man, this is a quench. You're quenching me. Thou shalt not. But have you read the Bible? Thou gets to do. Thou gets to do. Thou gets to do a lot of stuff. And by the way, the stuff that's thou shalt not, have you noticed all the stuff that thou shalt not? The thou shalt not, if you follow it all the way through, it kind of goes like this. Thou shalt not do this, so thou shalt not get shot in the head. Right? Thou shalt not do this, so thou shalt not wind up in jail or go to prison all your life. Think of, oh man, God's quenching me. He's trying to keep you out of hell and death and the prison and everything. Think of that. It's awesome. Another verse. Are you writing these down? I worked hard to get these verses. You need to write these down. Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope. This is awesome. Be vigilant, scanning the horizon for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, who? Jesus Christ, says the Bible. The Bible says, look for him. Be looking for him. Watch for him. It's awesome. It's glorious. Now, church, this parable that we're going to eventually get to is about the coming of the Lord. And it's probably good. I'm going to need all of you to look at me because I'm not smart enough to communicate it to you. I got to show you. Jesus' first coming, okay, you're going to have a crash course in eschatology right now. Jesus' first coming, according to biblical studies, is, we would normally say, in the manger in Bethlehem. Okay, you're close. Officially, his first coming was on Palm Sunday week when he was presented as king on April 6th, 32 AD. It was a Sunday morning in Israel. That is where he visited his temple. Do you remember that week he turned the money changers over and he yelled and shouted, my house, my father's house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. Remember that week Jesus announced, I am the light of the world. Jesus then announces, I am the bread of life. Remember when the priest would pour the water out of the urn down the steps of the temple? Jesus stands right there when that's going on and Jesus shouts to the people and says, I am the living water. All of these things going on that week. It was his first coming. If you were in a seminary course and the professor asked you, what or describe the first coming of Christ, you would say Passion Week, Palm Sunday. This was his first. It's when he presented himself to the nation, and it's the only time in Jesus' ministry career where he allowed worship to take place publicly. Every time before that, he kept it quiet. Remember that? That's his first coming. His second coming, listen, his second coming hasn't happened yet. His second coming is to the same location, coming back, same direction. He's not riding, read the fine print. First time he was on a donkey, remember? The second time, Revelation 19, he's on a white horse, okay? And the first coming was as Savior, Messiah, and the second coming is as judge, as king, okay? And it's awesome. His second coming is when Christ returns again to not only Israel, but to terra firma, literally, the earth, ground. Are you with me? He will go through the eastern gate or the golden gate, the one right now that is on CNN that's sealed up, it's all bricked up. The Bible says in the book of Ezekiel, when Christ returns from the atmosphere, from the heavens, he's gonna blow that gate wide open. That's gonna be a neat day. That's going to be awesome. He's going to go through that. He's going to establish his kingdom, the Bible says, for 1,000 years. The political reign of Jesus Christ. It has to happen. He has to sit on the throne of David. He's never done that. And throughout Scripture, eschatology, Bible prophecy, declares that the Messiah, Savior of Israel, of the world, must sit upon the throne of David. Tonight, Jesus is sitting on the throne of his Father in heaven. He's got to sit on an earthly rule throne in Jerusalem, the throne of David. That is awesome. The cool thing is, do you remember when David said, the Lord said unto my Lord? You know what's awesome? I'm going way off notes here. We're in trouble. Read the book of Ezekiel. It'll freak you out. It's awesome. And if you've read it, you remember, who's this prince? Who's this prince? Who's, when Jesus is on the throne for 1,000 years, there's some prince also that's with him. Listen, key. David said, I saw the Lord, and the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at the right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Yes. David in the millennium is the prince of the king. Jesus sits on the throne of David, his genealogical bloodline, fulfilling Bible prophecy. Jesus is the king. David is the prince. The Lord said unto my Lord. It answers commentary on the Bible perfectly. It's so exciting to see that. It's going to happen. You're going to see it. You will. If you're a believer, if you're not a believer, you're not going to see this. We're talking about the rapture. We want to focus on what could happen even now. So, 1 Thessalonians 4. We're going to run through this together. I want you to listen to this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep or died, believers who have died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For, watch, get your pen ready, for if we, circle the word we, these are the famous five we statements of Paul. You might want to write that down. Paul's famous we statements. And I'm going to tell you why they're famous. Verse 14 is one of them. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who, allow me to say it this way, died in Jesus, okay? Verse 15, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord that, number three, we who are alive and remain, excuse me, Paul, what? Paul, are you listening, everybody? 2,000 years ago, the apostle Paul said, we who are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord. What is he saying? Paul believed Jesus could come back in his day. And he's excited about it. Are you? You're 2,000 years closer. We'll remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who have died. Why? How come? What's that? Verse 16, for the Lord himself, not an angel, the Lord's coming, will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. Don't confuse this with the trumpet of the angel in the book of Revelation. The trumpet of God, there's two of them. I'm giving you more information than what you need to have. One trumpet of God calls the nation of Israel together. The last trumpet of God, the second one, calls the church together. Don't confuse this trumpet of the Lord here with the trumpets of the book of Revelation. A lot of people do, and they get all goofy.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called The Parable of the Ten Virgins. It's actually a series within a series taken from Matthew chapter 25 and verses 33 through 46. The Parable of the Ten Virgins, part of Pastor Jack's collection of studies on the parables of Jesus, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, as we remind you, almost every Monday, you can catch our weekly television program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. In fact, you can watch it at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Most often, you'll see Pastor Jack sit down with a guest or two to engage in some informative conversations and interviews, of course, centered around the Judeo-Christian worldview. They address topics like scripture, is it reliable? Evangelism, what is effective? Apologetics, how do we defend what we believe? Faith and politics, being salt and light? Marriage and family, proper interpretations of history? And of course, the list goes on. There's a new Real Life with Jack Hibbs television program every Monday. And of course, you can browse the categories for yourself to see archived programs. Just visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And of course, you'll also find links to just about all that's related to this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.